Hello, 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 and welcome to the Honest Property Investment Podcast. My name is Natasha Collins. I'm the host of this podcast. I'm also the founder of NC Real Estate, which is where landlords and property investors come to build commercial property portfolios. If you want to find out more about what we do, head on over to ncrealestate.co.uk/, which service is right for you, or just head to the homepage, ncrealestate.co.uk, and then in the top menu bar, you'll see our services and just click on what service is right for you. This week, I wanted to do a general overview podcast because I've had some questions about what is going on with me and my portfolio and my investments. So I will definitely cover that. Have you seen that the Body Shop are in administration? I'm kind of sad about that. Now, look, I'm going to say I am recording this a week in advance because I am on Thursday getting on the road because we're driving back to Charleston. If you have been following me since 2020, COVID times, you may remember that my husband and I purchased a house in Charleston, South Carolina. It's on the lake. It's gorgeous. It's 2,000 square foot, 3 bedrooms, 3.5 bathrooms, lakefront. It is quite possibly my favorite property that I own. My favorite property. I love Charleston. I love South Carolina. We haven't had a vacancy in that property since we moved out at the end of 2021. And so we've had no reason to go back and visit. And also we have Harry. We wanted to travel elsewhere because everything opened up after COVID. And as you are aware, we like to travel and we like to see things. But we are in a lucky period of time at the moment where Chris is on sabbatical from work. Every 5 years that he does at his place of work, they give him 5 weeks off to rest and recharge. He's on that at the moment. And so he thought that because that lined up really nicely with when our current tenants are moving out, we'd go there for a couple of weeks, have a look and see what's going on. The other thing that has happened at the same time is our realtor in Charleston, who we have stayed in close contact with, Kaylin, she is amazing, really enjoy chatting to her. She sent me a message a couple of weeks ago and said, "Hey, Natasha, just as an FYI, the people a couple of doors down from you have listed their property on the market for just over $1 million. Just over $1 million. It is mad. I think they've owned their property for less time than we have. They would have bought it somewhere in the 400,000s. We bought ours for $425,000. She said, "You need to watch this space and see what the value of yours is going to be. Would you want to sell?" The answer is, there is a price that we would sell for, even though I love that place. I love that place so much. We don't live there and we have no real reason to be in South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina again. I don't think it would be the type of place that I'd want to bring Harry up. As much as the area is gorgeous, it's not, it's not as, friendly as Austin. And I think that's a fair enough way of saying it. I love being at the beach. I love being on the ocean. But I didn't make so many friends there as I have in Austin. I think it's just a different demographic of people. So whilst the house is lovely, if I could pick that house up, bring it to Austin, put my Austin house in South Carolina, then it would be an absolute fine thing for me to do, to sell it because the house that we live in Austin is beautiful. Well, it's fine. I say beautiful, it's big. It's a big, big house. It's not anywhere near as beautiful as our Charleston one. And if you remember at the time, because we were shut in that year, I just decorated it, decorated and decorated and decorated. I love it. I put loads of love into it. So we're going back. One, because it's a great time to go back. It just works well with us. Number two, I want to see our realtor and see actually how much we can sell it for. Number three, the last tenants that we had in there said that our foundations were falling out. How are our foundations falling out? I have no idea how that even works. How does a property's foundations fall out? So we're going to go and take a look. They did have their checkout inspection done today, and there is no report of those foundations being in a bad space. So let's go and see. But apparently, there's big cracking in our dining room. I hope not. Because what on earth would they have been doing? That house is on stilts. Most houses are in the Low Country, which is Charleston and around the waterfront area. They are on stilts because it floods. Because our house is on a lake, any flood water just literally goes under the house and into the lake. So the house itself doesn't flood and it's been built to withstand any flooding. If those tenants have been jumping and broken our stilts, there's an issue. So I hope that's not the case. So let's see what happens there. If we sold that house, what would we do? Really good question. Either we'd pay off our mortgage in Austin and not have a mortgage at all, but then that would seem, I don't know if that would be the right thing to do because this mortgage is so low. And it's not really the mortgage that costs us the money on the monthly basis. It is our property taxes, which are an absolute killer. I think our property taxes are somewhere around 15,000 a year, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. Anyway, about that. And that makes up the bulk of what we pay rather than the interest on our mortgage because our mortgage is at somewhere around 2 point, no, it's 3.15, this one. 3.15% fixed in for 30 years. So it might not make sense to pay the mortgage off on this property. Instead, maybe we'll do another dream and buy a house in Lisbon. Or potentially Greece. Watch your space. I mean, the golden visa is particularly interesting for us. We'll see. We'll see. I don't know. It's all a bit of if, buts, and maybes. But that's why we're going to Charleston. We're going to take 4 days to get there. Then there'll be 4 days to get back because it's an awful long drive. I think it's about 20 hours of driving in each direction. But we wanted to take Summer, our dog, and essentially, I'm going to work still. I'm not having time off. I mean, there'll be a couple of hours here and there when I'm on the road, but I'm not taking time off. Chris is going to have Harry and Summer, and I think they're just going to go and play on the beach and see all the local sights. I don't particularly mind because I designed that house to be worked in, and I cannot wait to go back there and work in it. So when this podcast comes out next Tuesday, I'll be in Charleston already, but I just wanted to make sure that this was recorded so that it came out at the right time because it's never a good idea to record a podcast on the road with a dog and a toddler. Back to where I started. Body Shop collapses into administration. So I'm recording this on February the 13th. The news broke 6 hours ago. Roughly about that, when I got up this morning, I saw it on my news alerts. I'm genuinely sad about it. Got more than 2,200 jobs at risk, and they potentially will close all of their stores in the UK. Apparently, they didn't trade very well over Christmas and the New Year. I think the biggest problem with Body Shop is that when I was in my teenage years, the Body Shop was always very novel. You'd go in there and You could choose all the different scents that you wanted, and it was pretty affordable. And give credit where credit's due, Body Shop, I've always loved your tea tree range, and I would be really sad if I could no longer get that. But it hasn't really revolutionized itself any further, and that's because they spent an awful lot of money expanding out into the US now and around the world. And now, because look, they're not the same companies that have expanded out around the world. The UK part of the Body Shop is its own entity. But if you take your eyes off your original market and you don't do anything about it, you expand and then you just expect for everything to happen and be fine. I think that's where you start to lose money because you stop looking at the trends in the local market. I mean, think back years ago, Body Shop used to do Body Shop parties, didn't they? Where a friend or an auntie or some sort of extended family member would say, "Hey, I'm doing a Body Shop party." Everybody came over, they tried some of the things, they placed orders for things, the person who hosted the party would get a percentage, and then the Body Shop would make money on that. That was great. It was very sweet, a good way of promoting things. But I guess as consumer demands have changed, the Body Shop obviously, do the Body Shop still do parties? I was going to say, obviously, they stopped doing it, but I don't know. I assume they don't do it anymore. I don't know if it would make a good use of time or not, but they certainly haven't really changed the products that they're offering or added to the service. Whereas you look at a brand like Lush and you think, I really like Lush. I enjoy going into the store. I enjoy trying the things that they do. I don't always buy, but everything is recyclable. Everything's very sustainable. They want to make sure that you get the best out of a product. And I just really enjoy the shopping experience. Whereas the Body Shop is a bit of a pop in and pop out. I wonder if they will start doing concessions in the likes of Boots or Superdrug. Or what I would really like to see is Lush taking them over. I put a post out on my stories today asking Lush if they were going to buy the Body Shop. Let's hope so. What kind of partnership would that be? That'd be awesome. Because I think Lush could really improve the Body Shop's offering. So, oh, it's sad. Maybe someone will save it. But then you've got all of those retail units which aren't going to be used. I mean, the good thing about Body Shop retail units is they're quite small. I could imagine that there are tenants who would be happy to go in there. You might have the likes of Jo Malone. They like stores that are about that size. They might take it. Or, who else would take their stores? They're good sizes. It's like little coffee shop size or bakery size. Or, I think there'd be a lot of people for those types of shops because they are generally nice inside. I don't think you go into a Body Shop and think, "Bleh, this store is awful." So I'll be interested to see what that is. I would like to think that the Body Shop would put a vinyl on the outside of their shop, but obviously if they're in administration, there's not going to be any money for that. I bet there's a lot of landlords out there at the moment panicking. Oh, let's see what happens. It's a sad change in the high street, but I do wonder who's going to move into that space or whether that space even needs filling again. If the Body Shop go into concessions, which they are, I think, out here in the US. Can't for the life of me remember where I see them. Maybe Ulta Beauty? Ooh, imagine if Ulta Beauty or Sephora took over all the Body Shop spaces in the UK. That would be awesome. Oh, Lush, I may change my mind. Ulta, Sephora, take over the Body Shop, take their space. That would be my hope. I think as long as whatever happens next is creative, I'm all on board. But I do feel for those landlords who have probably seen the news this morning and have thought, oh my God, there is going to be a lot of property managers frantically trying to get in contact with someone at the body shop, and the staff won't know what's going on either. So it will be a strange time. As always, when companies go into administration, you really do have to think about who the administrators are, get in contact with them pretty damn quick so that you can get your name on the administrator list and say, hey, this is how much I'm owed, and try and scrape some money back. I'll be interested to see what happens there. So watch the space going forward. The next question I have been asked comes from Mahir. I haven't spoken to you in such a long time, but you've asked, what is the update with your telephone box you bought in your SaaS? I'm interested to know what you have done with it after 1 year buying it in your SaaS. Okay, good question. So for the longest time, it was advertisement for NC Real Estate. It was advertising our commercial property management service, and it did really, really well with that. We got a lot of inquiries through through people just walking past, really. That was where we got the majority of our inquiries from. Then I had it listed on Appear Here, who rent out the telephone box. And over Christmas, I got a letting for £500 for 6 days for it to be a scarf and hat shop. That worked out all right. I don't actually think it was the best use of that space. The reason being is that they pulled off all the vinyls that were outside. NC Real Estate had been paying my SaaS £80 a month to have advertising space on it. It costs £350 to have the vinyls put on the outside of the telephone box. So to have the vinyls put on the outside, to have the tenant take off the vinyls from the outside of the telephone box, and then they also broke the lock to get into the telephone box. So that cost me an extra £120 to change, which the tenant only ended up paying half of out of their deposit. Didn't really make anything. So my best idea for this telephone box at the moment, unless there's any other ideas, is to have it as advertising, and it works so well. If you can get your QR codes on the outside of it, think about the amount of footfall that you get. It's amazing. So people are seeing your stuff all the time. It's definitely worth the £80 a month, I think. To start off with, last year, NC Real Estate spent £80 a month on advertising on the telephone box to make £500. That was the starting. So, you know, we 5x'd our money. And then we've just had more recognition that from there. So that is what I've done with that telephone box. I think it's awesome. We have more ideas for it. I've just tried to see if we can get some interior design on the inside and get something interesting done there. Watch the space. There's going to be a lot of interesting things happening. And then the rest of my portfolio, well, I've just told you about the Charleston property. I'm currently trying to get my property limited company with commercial units in it remortgaged. The lenders, as I have said before, were a bit funny about the fact that there was 2 years, 9 months left on a lease, but that tenant just found someone to assign to in Bath. And the tenant that they're assigning to has asked for a surrender and regrant of the lease. So that would be a new 5 year lease, starting at £9,500 a year and rising in line with RPI every year for 5 years, no breaks. So that should mean that I can get a revaluation on that building, which will be higher, and then I can go to remortgage again. Remortgaging just seems to be taking its time. It's really slow. It takes, 48 hours for a lender to come back and say anything. And I am working with a broker as well, so it's frustrating, but that is what I'm doing on that property front. So there's a little roundup of my portfolio. Other than that, my property and my serviced accommodation, just waiting for the plans to come back for the new interior design that we're going to have done. I have just also received a quote today to have my windows repaired at £900 per window, which is phenomenal considering to have all of those windows replaced, it was going to cost me £20,000. Why was it going to be so much? Well, the council wouldn't allow me to have any different windows than what was on the listing, even if it was more sustainable. No, thank you. They don't want that. They just want you to have the same. So let's see. Let's see, but I'll get them repaired. That should last me another 5 to 10 years. Meanwhile, I can then save up for these all singing, all dancing, absolutely the same windows. And that will look good. But when the designs come out, watch on Instagram. I'll post them so you can see what it's going to look like. I'm really excited about that. That's just been ticking along in the background. I had all of my black fittings in the bathroom changed because the hard water in bath had just corroded them like no one's business. They lasted, what, 4 years? So those have been changed to chrome. And that's where I am with that property portfolio at the moment. Just sit and wait for the money to come in. I hope that's been useful. Thanks, everybody, for asking me about my property portfolio. That's the update. Key takeaways. Let's see who's going to take over the body shop. And always answer the phone because you never know what good news someone's going to tell you. And try things. I don't say that I make money all the time, that telephone box letting I know not to do again. But that's all right. Not the end of the world. You try, you experiment. We'll get our advertisement back on there and see how it goes. If you ever have any more questions for me, please reach out, natasha@ncrealestate.co.uk. Thank you so much for listening to me today. I will catch up with you again very soon.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you've loved this pod, make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And make sure to leave a 5-star review, as this makes me so happy and it helps to boost the show and get it out there to more property investors. Finally, if you want to email the pod, you can write to me, natasha@ncrealestate.co.uk. I cannot wait to catch up with you again soon.